The programs go by many names: behavior modification, alternative rehab, private residential treatment, boot camps, tough love boarding schools, even brat camps. Many are run by evangelical Christian groups. They all claim to have track records of successfully turning around troubled youth. Teens, and sometimes preteens, can be sent to these camps for months, even years. Some are shipped off to camps outside the U.S., and most have little or no contact with family or the outside world while in the programs. The services can cost parents hundreds of dollars a day. Statistics on the size of the industry are hard to come by, but in 2005, the New York Times estimated it to be worth more than $1 billion. Promotional materials are often idyllic, showing teens hiking in the wilderness, enjoying group bonding, physical fitness.
A chess club, a photography club, dance, and basketball. We have a party every Friday for those kids that have earned it. We call it Field Day.
That's from a promotional video for the Judge Rottenberg Center in Massachusetts. In 2013, the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture determined that certain techniques used at the Judge Rottenberg Center, including electroshock and physical restraint of children with disabilities, violated the UN Convention Against Torture. The center is still operating, but did not return calls from FSRN inquiring about its current practices. When many parents enroll their children in residential centers, they sign a limited-purpose power of attorney, giving the center custody of their kids. Reform advocates say that centers tend to be secretive, and parents have little idea what goes on there. Jody Hobbs was sent to a now-defunct Christian youth treatment facility as a teenager. She's now president of the advocacy organization Survivors of Institutional Abuse. Hobbs says that licensing of these centers is lax to non-existent.
It just depends on the state, but for California, it depends on if it's a private or a public program or facility. And if it's private, there's really no licensure, no regulation that they have to adhere to, except for the basic, you know, fire code and things of that nature.
That means many of these facilities operate with little or no oversight.
The only thing any of these institutions have been required to do, at least in the state of California, is file a private school affidavit, which only means that they're teaching a curriculum.
Dave Garcia is director of policy and community building at the Los Angeles Lesbian, Gay, Bi, and Transgender Center. The center has teamed up with Survivors of Institutional Abuse on a new campaign to draw attention to programs they say abuse so-called troubled kids.
Unlike other foster care institutions or other group homes that are regulated by the state, nobody is regulating these institutions. The Department of Social Services is not inspecting these institutions, and therefore they're rife with abuse, and we've heard horrible stories.
Those allegations include extended solitary confinement, denial of medical care, corporal punishment, sexual abuse, and even death. Nick Gaglia spent more than 2 years at a troubled youth camp to stop his drug use. Now he's a spokesman for reform of the industry, and he's documented his experiences in 3 films.
They controlled our food. We were on food rations. We slept only a couple hours a night. All they're concerned with 24/7 is, how are my basic deprived primal needs going to be met today? When am I going to eat? Am I going to be safe today? So when someone says, tell us you're a heroin addict, you're going to fight it for so long because you're not a heroin addict, but at a certain point you're going to say, I'm a heroin addict just so I could get some food.
Advocates say a big problem with these programs is their one-size-fits-all approach to any problem with any kid.
It's not possible to have a non-abusive troubled teen program because the whole concept of a troubled teen program is flawed.
Maya Salovitz wrote the book Help at Any Cost: How the Troubled Teen Industry Cons Parents and Hurts Kids. She says the problem is not just a few bad apples.
You cannot put everything from a kid with Asperger's to kids with addiction to antisocial personality disorder kids to kids with borderline to kids who just pissed off their parents to kids who have a stepfather that hates them. These are all very different problems. And the idea that we can just take a kid out of their life, put them in with a whole bunch of other so-called troubled teens, and fix them is not a sensible one, and there's no evidence that it works.
10 years ago, Salovitz helped the Government Accountability Office investigate the private rehabilitation industry for troubled youth. The investigation was led by then U.S. Representative George Miller, who proposed legislation for government oversight of the programs, but the bill died in Congress. Now Miller is retired, and state and federal lawmakers are reviving the task of regulating the industry. In March, California State Senator Ricardo Lara introduced a bill, SB 524, to require the licensing of all youth treatment and education programs in California through the Department of Social Services, with no exemptions for religious organizations. Later this month, U.S. Representative Adam Schiff, also from California, will introduce a bill to establish standards for youth camps, including professional credentials for workers and the ability for youth to contact the outside world. Industry watchers say legislative organizations will face an uphill climb, but with new watchdog organizations, and with President Obama saying he supports ending programs that claim to turn gay kids straight, awareness of problems in the industry is growing. Critics admit that not all private youth camps are abusive, and that some do have credentialed staff. But they ask, without proper oversight, how can parents really know what their kids are in for? Larry Buell, FSRN, Los Angeles.